What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is March 12th, 2025. We had the hump here on our channel. Really, not just our channel. It's on podcast platforms everywhere. It's on X. It's on Facebook, just like so many of you are right now. But no matter where you are, we want to hear from you. We want you to put those thumbs ups here on youtube.com/Fightful. Drop a fruit emoji. Let us know that you're here. Or if you're watching after the fact in the comments, and we want to hear what you liked, what you didn't like, and what you want to know about tonight's AEW Dynamite, or really anything, send in a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful, or a humper chat over at humperchats.com. Lots of great content here on the channel. We've started to add info docs. We've got a bunch of action figure related videos that I did with Jimmy. And last week, I want you guys to check this out. I did a look behind the scenes of what it is like to interview MJF, including the story of us getting lost in the MGM Grand, all that good stuff. But it is wonderful to see you guys here. Oh, man. Alex Palowski, how you doing?
Good. It's my wife's birthday.
Happy birthday to her.
Yeah, we went out to this place not too far from us. That is an authentic, like, Japanese, Asian-style karaoke. Like, you rent a private room, and just five people get to sing the whatever songs yes. they want. They, like, they bring food from the restaurant to your room and everything. It was really fun. We were there right as they opened. We picked up my daughter from school and drove over there and met some of her friends. And that was a really fun little thing. So, yeah.
What song did you sing? Which one did you sing?
I did Walking on the Sun by Smash Mouth.
Okay.
Which was my old standard from back in the day. Don't even need to look at the lyrics. It's still permanently emblazoned in my brain. And then my wife requested Bad to the Bone by George Thorogood.
Okay. So nice. I've done karaoke, I want to say maybe twice ever. Would you like to guess the most recent song I performed? What's that reaction for?
I don't want to insult you or
okay.
You know what I mean? So I honestly don't I mean, people in the chat are saying Judas by Fozzy, but I don't think that's true.
No, it was not Judas by Fozzy. It was Bitch I'm a Cow by Doja Cat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Again.
And wow! Look at this, Lupongi Vice. Let's go. But he said non-point. I'm a non-point fan. One of my friends knows a lot of the members of the band. But Tom LaValle says, happy birthday to Ricky Rainbow's missus. Indeed. Happy birthday to her.
Me missus.
Indeed. Thank you to Prince Leone for becoming a member. Yeah. I have been putting more stuff up for YouTube members, including some of my video game test streams. Yeah. Alex, I have learned this week, as I don't game as much anymore, they have made it progressively more difficult to stream things. I would figure I would figure that Sony would be like, you know what, just throw a mic in and put a webcam on and you're good to go. No you got to buy their webcam that doesn't screw to anything. It clips to something. There's no adhesive. Yeah. It's a pain in the ass, but I'm gonna do some 2K25 videos. I might do some AEW videos, might do some Fire Pro videos. Cool. We're gonna do a lot of stuff like that. We're expanding here on the channel. So subscribe. We would greatly appreciate that. But get those super chats, get those humper chats in. And as always, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Had some interesting AEW title related news today. Man, what haven't we had? We had details on Wardlow being backstage at AEW Revolution. We had a full-on scoops thread. We had a WWE Raw scoops thread as well. We've got select answers, all kinds of cool stuff, Q&As, news on Duke Hudson's first post-WWE match. There's always something over at FightfulSelect.com. Every single day we have exclusive news there. It is well worth that $6. But by God, let's talk about AEW Dynamite. We kicked off with a Kenny Omega promo. This was a promo-heavy show for a lot of the top talent because, quite frankly, Alex, it seemed like a lot of the top talent was beat to dog shit this week.
Yeah, you can't really, like, I'm really pleased that they allowed some of the talent the week off, did some of those, yes, some of those things. The backstages, I know, were pre-taped, a couple of them, at least one of them. So, like, hey, you know, like, take, I liked also just basically on camera having MVP telling the Hurt Business, who honestly didn't get banged up too badly, but just telling them, take the week off. It's fine. But having it being told to them is nice as well. But yeah, no, a lot of them took a lot of punishment. And I think it's nice that you can have a deep enough roster that the matches on the following weekly TV show are going to be great. And also just let these people not kill themselves over and over again. Like, some of these things, honestly, will be fine if they just don't wrestle three times a week.
Yeah.
Letting them take a week off to heal up, like, bruises and stuff, little things, will really help their longevity in the long term.
And I do know that some of this show changed kind of late because there were some people that couldn't quite do what they had anticipated them to do on the show. And this right. happens here and there with AEW. Like, last week they had some illnesses and it didn't change anything advertised for the tapings, but it definitely changed a couple things. So
yeah.
Kenny Omega is running down what that title means. And I love it because when Kenny Omega came back, a lot of people said, how will they present him? And they are presenting him as a wrestling god, so to speak. Yeah. And that's what they should do. And he's saying he wants to make that title mean as much as anything because it means something to him. Yeah. And that is important. That's what you want to see. That's what you want to hear out of Kenny Omega about this title, for sure. And it means as much as you tell us it means.
That's true.
And Kenny Omega is telling us that it means something.
Yeah.
We'll get to the tournament momentarily. The Ops defeated friend of Fightful, Vinny Pacifico, and the Pariah. But Vinny Pacifico really got it, including a piece of his tooth knocked out by Shibata.
Oh,
wishing Vinny Pacifico well. He was on a Times Square billboard again this week. A big, big week for Vinny, but this is the Ops getting a win and poor Vinny getting his tooth knocked out.
Yeah, the Ops are a really interesting act because they are keeping them relevant. Like, they checked in on them twice during Revolution from their little skybox with the Hook eating chips and Shibata there and Samoa Joe surveying all. But they checked in with them twice during the pay-per-view and they had nothing to do with, it appeared to be, with anything going on. So they're just wanting to make them seem very relevant. They are getting these big, big-time squashes where they just flatten everybody and take no offense from anybody. So the people, two out of the three people who are the current Trios champions in storyline were almost murdered by Adam Copeland. So
yes.
Do they have to drop the belts, or what's the 90-day rule, the 30-day rule, whatever it is with the thing? I don't know if that exists in AEW, but if they're, I want those guys to be active in defending the titles so they can lose them immediately to people who are not enveloped in a Death Riders overarching story, so that the Trios titles don't have to be siloed off in something that doesn't concern them. If you get the Undisputed Era, the Undisputed Empire, whatever you want to call them, winning the titles, and then feuding with the Ops, who are just, Samoa Joe saying it so well, we will give no quarter to anybody. We don't care who you are. We're going to beat your ass. I love them as just being this trio of murderers who doesn't care if you're face or heel, we're going to beat you up. So that's a really cool thing for, like, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong to take on. Or whatever, whoever you give the Trios titles to, they can't be on two guys who are injured right now.
They defend the titles just enough to piss me off.
That's a very good way of putting it.
They won them at All In. They defended them exactly a month later. And then they defended them like twice in 1 week, I think four weeks later.
Yeah.
And then like at that period, like mid-October, early November, it looked like they were going to do it a lot. And then not again for 3 months. They defended it again twice in a week and then not again for a month. And I'm like, good guy, guys, come on.
Yeah.
And not featured really as a trio either.
No.
And it's quite frustrating. Lupongi Vice says fans need to give talent bouquets more. I agree. Yeah. I agree. I think that's classy. Bobby White says, how would you debut a returning Wardlow? Same with Josh Alexander. I would like to see Josh in a trio with Josh Woods and Jeff Cobb. I think that would be cool, but Josh would be a badass heel. I haven't heard anything about Jeff Cobb coming to AEW. I've just never heard any real traction ever on those two sides doing business in that way. He'll be 43 this year. I don't know like what his plans are or what goes on there. It wouldn't shock me to see him like do the TNAs, the MLWs, and the American Indies of the world, and then still New Japan Strong. Yeah. Not to say he won't be in AEW, but I haven't necessarily heard that. As far as Josh Alexander, I would absolutely love him leading like Josh Woods and the like, because that's another guy with a similar background, big dude like Josh Alexander. But with Wardlow, I think it starts and ends with him coming back and attacking MJF. Why would he not?
And that's interesting with the development that we have tonight of MJF. I don't think MJF ever considers the offer he got unless he is forced to admit he needs help.
Yep.
And a returning Wardlow might be part of that.
Now I can say we had reported on FightfulSelect.com about Wardlow being pulled from a Pandemonium show next month. I can't speak to whether or not he's ready to go or anything like that, but he has been in LA working on another project, and he was backstage at AEW Revolution, as we broke on FightfulSelect.com. I would have him come back and absolutely attack MJF. Cope and Swerve segment from the other night. So, this was after they announced that after a resounding lack of excitement for Cope versus Mox in general, they ended it in a foggy manner just to get that briefcase or contract away from Christian. Since then, the person who had the best follow-up is the man who wasted his contract and got pinned. By far the most interesting thing, because what we're getting is Mox versus Cope next week, which might pop a number, don't know. Is it a street fight?
It's a street fight.
So it'll be a good match, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I don't get it.
Of all the matches from AEW Revolution to do a rematch of 2 weeks later, they choose the one that across the board, everyone was like, really? The first time everyone was like, really? Is this what we're doing? And we're going to do it again. You're subjecting us to this again. So,
I think the two biggest complaints about WWE right now are all the rematches.
Yes.
And women getting title shots without like being on TV or any or winning. And they ran back the two biggest complaints of WWE. Like, of all the matches you could rematch again, it's the one where people were like, why? Now, I understand within a kayfabe perspective, that's also why the contract exists. Like, tough shit. Like, if you want to use it to do that, like, this isn't like Io Sky getting DQ'd out of a title shot.
No.
Like, that, damn the rules. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, Christian didn't do anything wrong.
No.
He did what he... Like, what was it within the context of what he had earned, so to speak?
Yes.
But Cope and Swerve have a little bit of face off. I don't believe Swerve was there tonight. He wasn't in any live segments. But
No. I mean, listen, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was not an un-hard-hitting match that he was in with Ricochet. Just because he didn't end the night entirely bloody doesn't mean he didn't get banged up a little bit too. So, hey, give him the week off too. You got to make sure that guy is 1,000,000% healthy on April 6th.
So we'll go ahead and talk about the Ospreay promo because Vicky says, hi, friends. Cash for Ospreay. Let's keep him topping himself, bruv. My God. Mox and Cope again. No, Mox should attack MJF for whining. SRS, Alex, and Kate rule. Vicky, we always appreciate you here. And obviously, the winner of Mox Cope faces Swerve at Dynasty. They basically put Will Ospreay on TV to put Will Ospreay on TV. Like he came out and he said that he told his missus, promise I won't do any crazy stuff off the cage. Then he gets up there. He sees people with the camera phone. He sees people freaking out. He's like, guess I got to do some crazy stuff. But it was just a way to show up and have him put over Kyle Fletcher in loss a little bit. Got no problem with it.
Also, I just feel like once he's up there, what's he going to do? Gingerly climb back down? You know what I mean? Like, he has to do something from up there. And honestly, a Spanish fly is one of the... Like, what you don't want to do is jump off of there and land on your feet. Because we saw what happened with that. That's a lot less...
Well...
What he did, man, you know? So...
That's what he thought he could do is what I heard.
Really?
I heard he thought he could Spider-Man it. I'm not saying that he tried to do that.
No.
I'm just saying like, that was a thought. At least
Cope and Bronson Reed both destroyed parts of their legs by jumping off of that of a tall cage. Don't do it.
And Kate brings up a good point. Alex Windsor was bloodied in chains this week, and that's probably why she was just like, "Have fun." you did what? Okay, bye. Like that.
Yeah.
But
don't you dare.
I just want to say, Will Ospreay is, you can tell how much he loves it. You can tell how much he just loves it. And you want to talk about somebody who's grown like as a human being and as a person and as a professional, that's Will Ospreay. Cause we are not that far removed from David Finley tweeting, you're the dumbest person I know. And I know Will Ospreay that is a thing. And now people adore him. And I've told this story before about how like he will, like he takes up for the extras there. If somebody's like being talked to in a certain way, they shouldn't. And he sets a culture, sets a tempo. Yeah. Heard he did a bunch of promotion this week. So man, it makes me happy to see because I think he realizes the opportunity that he has. And you know, a parallel I see Gabe Kidd is a guy who obnoxious, loud, but talented.
Yeah.
And then he gets the opportunity to do a couple things and he knocks it out of the park. And I've been hearing about this personal growth that he has. And, I see a lot of parallels there. And I think that those two gentlemen are probably a big reason why they're going to do very well in Forbidden Door sales in this summer. I think they're going to do very, very well with that.
Yeah.
Bobby White says, I really want to see Josh Woods wrestle more. What's going on with him? If you know, I don't know. I can find out though. I can certainly find out. But Josh Woods is a guy that I have long been like long thought has potential. Yeah. And he hasn't wrestled since mid-December. Don't know if he's like sidelined or anything like that, but they were just having him lose on ROH TV a lot. And he seems like the kind of guy that, especially if he gets put in a tag team or something, this guy's got a lot of personality, big dude. Physical, has a good skill set.
Yep.
I would like to see him do something like that. And him alongside Josh Alexander would be great.
Yeah.
Parker Hines says Swerve really needs to beat Mox at Dynasty. Have no interest in the Death Riders at all. It to me is very much time to move on from the Death Riders.
We gotta get that done at Dynasty. That makes most sense. I honestly I didn't hate the Moxley promo at all. He blames himself for letting Copeland hang around so long that Christian thought he could run in at the last second and score, and snake his title from him. That's why I had to put him down like a dog. I mean, that all makes perfect sense to me. The problem is that there's a disconnect between the Moxley and these promos and the Moxley that we get a lot where it's like, oh no, I can't. I'm running away. I won't try and get past Jay White to stop my best friend Claudio from getting his skull stove in by Adam Copeland. Like I can't possibly, I'm so scared. Like the guy who cuts these promos isn't the same guy we see doing a lot of stuff. There's a disconnect And I think feel like you need to figure out a way, because it's honestly, it's not really believable for John Moxley to be a chicken shit heel. But sometimes that part of this reign, he has been absolutely a chicken shit heel in like regular weekly segments. Not during the promos. The promos don't make him one, but the stuff we see, not him wrestling, not the promos, but the incidental stuff where he's around the ring makes him look like a chicken shit, and you can't make Moxley a chicken shit.
And like, I know that they've been the Death Riders for a few months, but this is the Blackpool Combat Club. They just switched out Danielson from Arena. They've had a 3-year run. Like they had a good run. We don't need to see it forever. Right. We don't need to see it forever. I'm ready to see this go on and just be something else. And we did mention Switchblade Jay White. He talked about his involvement, whether or not he hit Cope intentionally or not. We're seeing him interact with the crowd more. How did you feel about this?
I only have one problem. Like, turn him heel. Turn him heel next week. Have him come in and try to help Cope, and it all gets messed up again because of Wheeler Yuta. Cope blames him, and Jay White says, "You know what? Screw you," and turns heel on him or something. I don't know, but like, I don't. His whole thing of like, he's talking about Swerve. How dare you, Swerve, come in and take my spot? I've been the guy who's coming after the Death Riders for months now. How you can't just come in and become the number one contender? That's not fair. But I want to talk about how much I love Adam Copeland and how I'll be ride or die with Adam Copeland till the end. No, but that dude also snaked your spot. He talks about how he would have won the title at World's End. And after that, is when Cope came in and was like, I'll be the number one title contender now. And Jay White's character, as written, was just like, okay, Cope, you can be the number one contender. I'll be your sidekick. So you can't be super, like, I'm going to reclaim my rightful place as number one contender if for these months you have been consistently just the guy who runs around and hangs with Adam Copeland. So what I want to see him is be like a little bit more of the Switchblade, a little bit more of the heel Jay White, and be more ruthless and out for himself. I love the idea of that version of Jay White being a guy that Swerve's got to contend with, that Ospreay's got to contend with, that all these people, that's the kind of Jay White I think that is the guy who can be at the top of the card. We got Will tonight saying, I want to be in the world title match at All In, so I'm entering the Owen Hart tournament. So like, we're booking that far ahead that are we going to get Swerve versus Ospreay 2 at All In? Is that a thing that we're looking at now, or are we jumping too far ahead? Will Swerve not win the title? Please God, let Swerve win the title.
Well, by God, guys, we're about to make a baby face turn on you by telling you about NordVPN.com/Fightful. Some of you might know, hey, for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be going live for the post-Raw show at like 5:30, 6:30 in the afternoon. I'm so excited about that. But in the States, you're not going to get to watch SmackDown live because it airs at 8 p.m. on Fridays on the USA Network. But if you got that Netflix subscription, NordVPN.com/Fightful has you covered. All you got to do, sign up, get your 4 months extra for free, your 30-day money-back guarantee, that big discount with that code Fightful at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You switch your virtual location to the UK, to Canada, to anywhere else. You log into your Netflix account, or you can do it when you're already logged in, and you're going to have access to these SmackDown episodes as they air live. And it's not just that. It's NXT. It's PLEs. If you're looking to cut cable completely out, NordVPN is an indispensable tool. I pay upwards of $100 for YouTube TV, and now that college basketball season is over and football season is over, I'm canceling it. I'm relying on NordVPN.com/Fightful, and they've got so many different benefits for you guys. Beyond it working on all your devices on all operating systems, you can protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, shield your data from snoops and criminals, and add extra layers of digital security to your life. They have 24/7 tech support, so if for some reason you don't know how it works, they have you covered. They will help you out. and it's the fastest VPN in the world. NordVPN.com/Fightful. I honestly wondered, once the Netflix deal kicked off, like, how would Nord be affected by this? Would it be more useful? Would it be less useful? Happy to say it is incredibly useful. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Truly love that service. Make sure you guys check it out. The best VPN in all the world. Mm-hmm. For Alex Ad Reed Beard Oil. Don't know 2LT photo. I say this, we don't have a beard sponsor right now. Our deal with Manscaped lapsed. So listen, anybody else want to step up?
Step up.
I am as loyal as my next paycheck. How much I tell you.
Yep.
I am the APA of podcasters, and I will turn on literally anybody.
That's right.
Do I get flowers or a cheese board if it's Osprey versus Swerve at All In? I don't know if it's Osprey Swerve at All In. I haven't heard that. In fact, I've heard different opponents pitched for them. But, you know, a lot of things get pitched along the way.
Yeah,
I just think that AEW is in a very, very good position with 7 or 8 key talent. And I mean, I've mentioned this before. Hangman, Omega, Osprey, Swerve on the babyface side. MJF, Moxley, gosh, even Fletcher, Takeshita as well, but other names on the heel side, they're in a good spot. They're in a good spot. What else do we got here? Oh, boy. we got Bobby White saying, I sent a Humper Chat when you all talk about MJF. Well, it is listed. Don't worry, Bobby. It is listed.
Yeah, we got it.
We'll talk about it. But let's talk about Christian Cage while we're here. Mm-hmm. Christian is backstage, and he's explaining his loss and how frustrated he is. And then Nick Wayne cuts him off, and he's like, you're making excuses. And you owe us an apology. And I just want to say, Nick Wayne killed it in this promo.
Yeah, he did. You were great.
Ooh, great. I don't know how, if I've heard Nick Wayne talk this much in an AEW segment, like in a while. This felt really natural.
Yeah.
It felt like he benefited. This was probably the best use of Mama Wayne ever. She's like protecting her son. What I'm interested in, Nick Wayne was all too happy to let his mom step in for him, and then didn't really do anything when Christian was like, well, yeah, go ahead, you're gonna work the midnight shift at the Waffle House.
It's early.
It's boiling.
It's early, you know what I mean? Like, this is the thing, is it,
I'm excited.
He's gonna take more and more liberties with Mama Wayne until Nick Wayne throws the first punch. Like, that Nick Wayne had it up to here with Christian Cage's BS heel baby face turn is going to be great. Like, that is why you do a Nick Wayne is Christian Cage's, you know, adopted son, is because, you know, eventually the adopted son will see through the father and turn face on him. And that's going to be a really great thing. What I thought was really, really funny, was the explanation, specific explanation that Christian Cage says, is that dumb referee Remsburg, when I cashed in on my contract, that was specific. I told him it was specifically versus Adam Copeland one-on-one for the title. But you can't, because that's Mox's title. You can't come in and say, if I beat the original challenger, then I am the champion. That is definitely not how that works. And I appreciate Nick Wayne being like, hold on, what? Also, I love that he says, what was the original? That wasn't the original plan, was it? The original plan. But if we had just done the original plan, it would have worked. I'm all in on finding out what this original plan was. Because Christian did come out there by himself.
Yeah.
Nick Wayne wasn't out there. Kip Sabian wasn't out there. Once it becomes a triple threat, those two guys can show up and with chairs and just keep hitting John Moxley while Christian Cage is going after almost unconscious Adam Copeland. By Christian Cage doing it himself, he cost himself the title.
Yeah.
It's a really cool thing that like that is actually woven into this, is that we talked about how we were going to make you the champion and you decided to do it by yourself. And that's why you're not the champion right now. That's great. Honestly, all of this is wonderful.
A great segment.
Character development and also a really good explanation of what went wrong with Christian Cage, why he's not the champion right now, because he was so dumb and hubristic as to go off and do it himself. Great stuff.
Yeah, the Jericho promo with Gravity's mask, like obviously I'm happier that there wasn't a Jericho match on Revolution, but I thought the angle kicked ass. Like, it was very, very good. It added Gravity to the Gravity and Bandido storyline. But we also had him holding the mask, which everyone can identify with. I had mentioned this before on a number of shows. Like, if you look at some of the local advertising for AEW, it's very smart what they do. They will lean into the Lucha Libre elements, and it'll just be Lucha Libre this Wednesday or Thursday. And you'll see a poster with like La Catalina versus Lady Frost on it, as opposed to Jericho and Moxley and all that. I think, and I don't think they can stretch it out 4 months, but I absolutely think they should do a mask versus title match at All in Texas. Like that, like if you're going to get Jericho involved in something, like do like a mask versus title situation. I just don't want Jericho holding that title that long.
No, Jericho can't hold that title that long. Come on. Like that, just here's the deal. This all would be great if Jericho hadn't beaten Bandido clean already.
Sure.
What the heck does Jericho even care about Bandido anymore? Like, I gave you your title match. I beat you clean. I'm done with you. I get it. He's a hater, but like, there's no reason to hate. If you hate the guy who pinned you in a non-title match and now you know he's dangerous, and so you're trying to get in his head before you have your rematch for the title, fine. But it was a title match that you beat him clean by being smarter than him. I don't understand why a rematch even happens. If they had booked the first match differently, then this all makes sense. But this match, none of this makes sense because of the way they booked the first match to me.
What about a mask versus hair match and Jericho has to go bald?
Yes. a mask versus hair title match that whoever loses has the thing taken away from them. And also whoever wins gets the title.
Sure.
Because I can't. Jericho's got to lose that title just immediately, please.
Well, we wondered what Harley Cameron was going to do after this feud that she had. And I got to say, I'm here for it.
So great.
She accompanied Hologram to the ring as Harley Graham. And I like it. I'm okay with it. Now, it would have been better if they had her on commentary as Harley Graham as well.
Yes,
it would. But we did see Powerhouse Hobbs and Hologram, also known as Hobbsagram, defeating Dralistico and Brian Cage, of which Brian Cage does one of the most psychotic counters you are ever going to see to Hologram, who does a suicide dive. And mid-suicide dive, Brian Cage just seamlessly suplexes him.
Truly amazing, the counter, and not remotely the most impressive thing that Brian Cage did in that match.
Yeah.
Because he did the deadlift from outside to inside suplex to Hobbs.
Yes.
Like, that's crazy. Deadlift outside to inside suplex on a guy who's 220 pounds is impressive enough. Doing it to Hobbs is nuts. I mean, Brian Cage has been, for 10 years, one of the best bases for luchadors ever. We'll go back and watch any of the stuff he did in Lucha Underground. That guy was absolutely a phenom when it came to making sure the luchadors looked great and also getting to toss them all over the place. Like, that was so him working great with Hologram, not a surprise. Also, he was so good.
Sorry, I dug that they were like, let's put two meat sons of bitches in there and two luchas in there.
Yeah.
And it worked out really well. Like,
this was
a lucha heavy show. It really was.
It was.
I loved it. I thought that it worked really, really good.
Really great.
I was all for this. Hobbs, it looked like Hobbs got cracked pretty hard at one point. Mm-hmm. And then he had dropped, I think it was Drelice, go ahead.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. When you, and anybody that's wrestled a big sirloin beef sons of bitch knows this. Yeah. If they ever drop you, they are going to slam you twice as hard. You up afterwards. So you know Jalisco was like,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
I also, it's interesting to me that we're now looks like we're getting Hobbs being encircled here by the murder machines.
Yeah.
Afterwards, it seems like that is where maybe we're moving Hobbs into that area. I wouldn't have minded Hobbs becoming your new ROH champion either. That seems like that's we're kind of moved on from that a little bit. But yeah, him versus Lance Archer, him versus Brian Cage. I don't know if he gets a big hoss partner to face them 2-on-2. Could be a lot of fun.
We got Maddie Nice, who sent a very nice super chat. Thank you. He says, AEW lining up 4 challengers made up of 2 IWGP champions, an AEW and World Heavyweight champion, and a former AEW champion, shows how the belt is the best in the world. Will we see the Bullet Club Gold back together soon? Well, Juice Robinson still hurt for quite a while. Yeah. As far as the guns, I don't have a damn clue what they're doing. They popped up. They got their shot, and they have – it's like – well, they're not hurt anymore, so let's use them. But I haven't seen them since, I don't think. It's been like a month since their tag title match. Yeah. Haven't heard much of anything, but that also seems like a way that they kind of lull you to sleep for the Jay White heel element. Yeah. And
if Jay White turns heel, those boys are showing back up as his backup for sure.
And they are as obnoxious as it gets as heels.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it really – they are their father's sons. Like, they know
– for sure.
Like if, yes, I like that an awful lot.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm interested in is, does Billy play into this at all?
No.
Because he's no longer with the Acclaim.
Please
not. Not what do you want to happen, Alex? It's,
I know.
Does he?
I just hope not. That's all I'm saying. I mean, like, honestly, I think he did a very serviceable job with all the stuff. I'll just, you know, like. We did a whole thing where the I'll never forgive them. The reason that the House of Black had to lose the trio's titles was because it was a no stay, Billy Gunn, don't retire. We love you. That was the reason. And the trio's titles have been pretty terrible since the House of Black lost them.
Ugh.
So you know what I mean? Like that was the whole reason that we had to have to take them off the House of Black because we have to pay tribute to Billy Gunn. And since then, those trios titles have been kind of in the mud.
I will say this. One of the ideas I had heard at the time, and there's no reason for me to not say this on a podcast now because it's a nothing story. But one of the pitches that I had heard was that Billy Gunn, because he had this dual WWE like merchandising deal, was hoping to inquire about using Ass Man at Wembley, which objectively would have been enormous reaction. Like it would have been an incredible reaction.
Well, except you know that he would have been the Arse Man over there.
The Arse Man, yes.
Yes.
But like there were some pitches that he would come back at Wembley and that song would be playing. And I was they could have made that happen. But from what I understood, it was a pretty quick inquiry and it didn't happen. And also, and again, this was just like a speculatory thing that it was very much a Tony Khan being like, I ain't paying WWE shit. So, you want to work it out with your royalties or whatever that might be by all means. But I don't think that it got really far, but that could have been really cool. I could see a world where the guns all collectively challenge for the trios titles. I could see that in a world. But Maddie Nice, thank you so much for that generous super chat. Dave Cost says, felt like tonight had more talking than ever for an AEW show. Did this have anything to do with how banged up the performers were for Sunday? Dave, yes, it had a lot to do with that. I'm told the show, like a lot of it didn't get finalized to a lot of people there until pretty late is what I heard from people at the building. Yeah. But wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather. It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. Yes, it absolutely did, including I know at least one person that wasn't on the show almost at all. But yeah, a lot of their top guys, like you saw Omega, Mox, Cope, Swerve, MJF, Ospreay, like they were all talking tonight. Yeah. Like they weren't doing anything else. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
Toni Storm talked and got involved with a little something mm-hmm. else. She cut a nice promo, kind of putting a bow on it. Now, Alex, I've spoken about this multiple times, but I can't think of a better way that they could have ended AEW Revolution in LA, Hollywood, than having the end and then having a giant curtain close yep. across the stage.
Yeah.
That should have closed AEW Revolution.
It. Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is that Tony Khan has said nebulously, well, who knows? Maybe women will main event a pay-per-view one day. If not now, when? An 18-month story, the finish of a trilogy, the Hollywood ending in the Hollywood, up against a men's main event scene that nobody really cares for right
nobody.
Now. It's the perfect time to do a women's main event of a pay-per-view was right now, and you didn't do it. So I don't know when you're going to do it.
Well, I'll tell you something I'm excited about. Megan Bain attacks Toni Storm. So I have often spoke on this show and others about how sometimes when somebody debuts or makes their impression felt in a company, you got to let people know exactly who they are and right. what level they are performing on. And some of the comparisons I've used is not everybody's Braun Breaker, not everybody's Gunther, not everybody's Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
Those are special talent. Physically, I would put Megan Bain up there with those people.
Sure.
So you can get away with that. But the example that I often use is Alberto Del Rio, who was okay. He was a tall guy that Vince McMahon liked, but from the get-go, they let you know he was a main event, a level talent, and they booked him accordingly throughout that initial run. Yeah. Very, very early on, they are letting you know that Megan Bain is somebody.
Oh, yeah.
How'd you feel about this, Alex?
Toni Storm asked for it. She says to all the ladies in the back, put your keys in the bowl. Let's get this orgy started. It's going to be messy. It's going to be sweaty. Let's get it going. Basically, she says, I welcome all comers. And with her, it's probably a double entendre. But like, I welcome all comers. Please, let's have anybody step up to the plate. And the person is Megan Bain, who attacks her brutally, smashes her in the back. It's great. Megan Bain is super impressive. And I love that she's just like, later in the evening, she announced her presence with authority against other top faces in the company. So like, this is great. Like, this is saying, I don't care. I'm not siloing a target. I want to take out everybody. If everybody is laying there unconscious, then I win. This is really good stuff. She is so impressive, like just physically impressive.
You know who I think that Toni Storm should get to kind of help her?
Yeah.
June Byers. In the form of Camille. I think that she should bring in, that would be a thing that Toni does where she goes,
yeah,
I've got an opponent for you, June Byers. and she thinks it's June Byers, obviously. Like, that would be phenomenal. And it would be a much better way to promote Queen of the Ring than what they did the other night.
By the time they end up doing that, it'll be out of the theaters already. So
that's true. You can promote the on-demand, whatever.
Promote the on-demand service, sure.
Yeah. Like, literally anybody from AEW in that movie, she should just have them face Megan Bain as whoever they are, which I think Britt's in there. She's Debbie Nichols. Mm-hmm. I mean, she ain't coming back for that, obviously.
No. Like,
who else we got? Let's see. Man, that's quite the cast. By the way, guys, check out my interview with Francesca Eastwood, Clint Eastwood's daughter. She was wonderful. She played Mae Young. I was like, so mind if I ask, what part of her career did you research first? And she goes, oh, it was the late stuff. She was like, that was my introduction, was the most recent stuff.
Okay, here's what you do. Well, I'm playing Mae Young. Let's see what comes up first when I Google Mae Young video. It's going to be her giving birth to a hand. And then you call up your agent and you go, what the hell did you get me into?
I'm just sitting there and then I'm like, this is Clint Eastwood's daughter.
Yeah.
I broke the news to her that WWE 20 years ago did a Dirty Harry parody. She was very excited to see that. So I got to send that to her, hoping that I can get some details on what she felt about that one. But check out that interview, guys. Like, she's got, you know what? She's got some sort of charisma where you can tell she grew up around one of the most famous people in the world.
Yeah.
That's what she's got. Yeah. But I liked this an awful lot. Matthew Hook says AEW is getting better. Just women's time and Death Riders fix. Yeah. Takeshita defeated Max Caster. This was everything it needed to be. Takeshita getting a win immediately.
Max Caster was like, okay, so who's it going to be? It was the thing. It's like, I'm thinking of all these people, some people who were going to be pissed off after last week or whatever. For some reason, my mind never went to Takeshita, but when he came out and Max Caster's reference, I cackled. Like, his reaction to it was just amazing. And also, I'm like, yeah, obviously you're not here to wrestle me. I'm the best in the world. I'd kill you. So you're here to recruit me into the Don Callis family.
Yes.
And just think of how great it would be, and then he just gets leveled by an elbow, and then the raging fire or whatever. It was great. It was great. I love that Takeshita is pissed. He's not going away. He's here. He's like, I'm not leaving. I really like the idea of seeing what they do with this guy, because obviously he is in ring, at least, an absolute main event type talent.
Well, if you put your life savings on Max Caster, you didn't end up doing very good. But look at this big overlay. Bam! BetOnline AG. But if you went to BetOnline AG this past weekend and bet on Hangman Page, who was the underdog, you ended up winning a little something. If you went to BetOnline AG, where you can deposit with crypto, they got VIP rewards, you can bet big with high limits and rebet functionality and get the fastest payouts. You did all right if you listen to the FightfulSelect.com lock picks, because for the first time ever, we gave you five of them, and we went 5-for-5 on those lock picks. I believe it was Moxley, Omega, Okada, Swerve, and Mercedes, 5-for-5. Now we are 20-for-20 all time in lock picks, dating back to Samoa Joe, who was an underdog at World's End 2023. We've been giving you all lock picks ever since then. I love it when somebody says, man, you know what? You paid for my drinks this weekend. And BetOnline's like, they're sitting there like Randy Marsh. They're like, I didn't hear a bell ring. And they're sponsoring us for this. They're like, we don't care. Bring them on. Yeah. Bring them on. They love it, man. And it's not just AEW. It's WWE. It's UFC, NCAA, NBA. They got games. You can compare their competitors. They're trusted by millions. They're not some fly-by-night operation. They got a safe and secure online environment and payouts in minute. BetOnline AG. Bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
Have you done the calculations? If you had actually bet whatever amount and just let it ride every time, would you be like, you know, have $100,000 by now? Or
you'd be all right. Kate in the chat. Kate took advice from Joel Pearl last fall. Cause you know, a lot of people are like, it's predetermined. How could they, you can bet on the Oscars, brother. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, and that's the thing. People are like, oh, well, it's so predictable. Well, then go predict it. Go predict it, by God. Because there have been a number of underdogs that we've made lock picks as well. I'll give you guys some insight on one. Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania. Well, yeah, boy, over at FightfulSelect.com had reported that Jason Kelsey had been at the Monster Factory training. And I thought to myself, interesting that Rey Mysterio is a underdog on this show, because what was Jason Kelsey doing 2 months before? Oh, he was partying at the Super Bowl in a Rey Mysterio mask.
That's right.
Well, they're not going to have Jason Kelsey roll up to WrestleMania and be a part of something losing. That's not going to happen. Mm-mm. That's his last W in the Eagles Stadium there.
True.
Right.
It's true.
Right there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mercedes backstage. Mercedes was fantastic in this segment.
Yes.
She had a bruised larynx, and Billy Starks was there. And listen, Billy Starks has got to get comfortable on the mic and all that stuff. It will come with time, but they have her working with the right people.
For sure.
19, 20 years old. And she's going to have a killer match next week. But the highlight of this is Mercedes laughing at her. And then holding her throat because she laughed too hard. Now, that being said, I want to issue one of my big complaints, because I love Billy Starks as a performer, a professional, a person. Her brother did our most recent Fightful commercial, actually. Yeah. Love her family, all good people, excited for the match. What we have seen of her lately is she's won a couple matches, I think three matches on ROH. Hopefully they bring that up. Because if you want to tell me she's won three matches in a row,
right?
Great. Cool. Other than that, she has barely appeared on AEW TV in years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I'm like, damn. But if you want commentary to say, well, you know what? She's won a few matches recently on ROH TV. That's good. We can do that. I would like to see her win a match on Collision.
I don't know what the plans are, but like having Billy Starks beat somebody next week with Mercedes on commentary and then doing the title match the following week, like would that destroy your timeline entirely? Because if not,
no, I would love it.
That would make me feel a lot better. I just don't know if they're like, oh no, 2 weeks from now we have another thing for Mercedes to do. Like if that's the case. Or 2 weeks from now, Mercedes can't make it. She's got to go film something or something. So we got to do it next week. Okay, fine. But if not, figure out somebody who seems impressive. Maybe it's a hand-picked opponent by Mercedes that then we have Billy Starks beat next week. And that's how she earns her title shot. Just do that.
Yeah. And I mean, I would have her win on Collision as well. I would. Yeah, Scott Rawson says, Tony K heard the AEW's too old discourse and put the Billy Starks, Nick Wayne bat signal. I'm here for it. Can't wait to be at next week's show. Yes, I mean, that's the thing. Yes. Like getting Billy Starks on this show is something like I was so excited to see her on the pay-per-view, and they show her on the screen. Yeah. Like she is going to be a high level performer for a very, very long time. And we are going to look back at this match and say, man, she was doing that when she was like 20 or 21. I'm so excited for it. And again, I want them to give them some wins. Yeah. MJF promo. He is being recruited by the Hurt Syndicate. I liked the swerve here, which MVP backstage was like, guys, take the week off. Mm-hmm. I'll handle business. And he interrupts MJF and they embrace. And MVP tells this great story of MJF driving him just to ask him questions and about how he could tell MJF was going to be something. Mm-hmm. And then he says, you know what? You've lost your way, but I've got your ticket back. and it's the Hurt Syndicate.
Yeah.
And MJF is like, no, I'm not doing that. MJF learned his lesson. That's what I took from this. Is MJF learned his lesson from trusting Adam Cole. Because what we saw with Hangman later plays into all this, Alex. Hangman says, you say you were going to catch me or set me on fire, but I've done that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to mean it. And I can tell that you really do hate that these people don't love you. And I know that you did love it when they loved. And I think that plays into the Hurt Syndicate element too, Alex, because MJF did love it when people loved him. That's the whole basis of this whole thing. But he is smart enough to not get himself involved right now in this, because he's like, the last time I did that shit, I changed everything about who I was. It screwed me over, took months out of my career, cost me all my friendships, and everybody hated me afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
He lost everything.
Yeah.
I thought this was a great way to weave all this in together and show that MJF is a lot more than LOL your mom.
Yes. Well, he always has been. That's the tragedy of it, right? Like, he always has been, but that's the thing. That's his crutch he keeps returning to. Because here's the thing about it is that absolutely partly part of MJF is that he wants love, but he does not feel he deserves it. That's why when he says to Hangman, you don't feel like you deserve their love. It's him projecting. That's the thing, is he knows he's a piece of crap. And he doesn't want to be, but he can't help himself. As opposed to Hangman, who inside is a good man but knows he did a horrible thing and he cannot be redeemed for it, so he kept doing terrible things to push away the people's love. And now, by being opposite a guy who his knee-jerk response is to be an asshole, by comparison, certainly everyone's going to be rooting for Hangman Page. He will become the guy who will be redeemed by feuding with a guy who is irredeemable. That is the really cool thing here. But I also loved the little backstage thing with Lexi walking into MJF's locker room after he lost to Hangman. And he's talking to himself in the mirror. You're such a fraud. And he punches the mirror and shatters it. And then he chases her out of the room. Like telling himself into himself in the mirror, you're such a fraud. And then coming on and be like, hey, it's fine. I'm fine with it. You know, it's cool, Hangman. Doesn't matter because I'm going to be world champion over and over again. And you're not. And so then nobody's going to remember I lost this match to you. They're going to remember me as the 10-time AEW world champion. And he's trying to put a band-aid over the thing that is really hurt, his heart. His heart is hurt because no one loves him. But at the same time, he keeps pushing everybody away as a knee-jerk response. It's great, great stuff.
Bobby White says, okay, that MJF segment was awesome. And when MVP came out, I thought, what are the chances of at the pay-per-view, Dynasty, Hammerstone, Holiday, and MJF? I think it's a good idea with Hammerstone a free agent. I'm thinking, yes. What do you think? So the vast majority of the audience will not know that history. They will not know those guys, but I know those guys. Mm-hmm. I know them very well. And I think they are all fantastic television performers.
Right.
And they have all been teasing a reunion on social media.
We also just got today a fantastic example of, you don't know the history between me and MJF. You want me to tell you? And then they all say yes. Like, good, because if you didn't, I was going to tell you anyway. I loved MVP in this segment. But he very succinctly explained how they knew each other. And if you did the exact same basic thing, if you have those guys come in and join MJF, MJF can cut a promo about how they know each other. And then we're all caught up and we can move on. So I think that there's something really great there. The MVP being the one to interrupt MJF made me very confused until MVP told me the story. And then I was like, this makes perfect sense. And him offering the card and him immediately rejecting it. But then MVP saying, you used to be the champ. Here's the card. And MJF takes it the second time. Like, this is really interesting. And again, Jeff always preemptively goes out and hires people. This time, he has to admit he needs help. And that's when he actually will take up MVP on the offer. Or he doesn't. Because there are a lot of people who got business cards. And correct me if I'm wrong, none of those people are in the Hurts syndicate right now. So, yeah. Like, that is interesting to me that maybe this is the first guy who actually accepts, or maybe he's another one who doesn't. But there's no way this ends with this segment. This is going to be something that comes up more and more.
Now, I know that the majority of Dynasty footage that exists is MLW, but they did work together in a Beyond match. I'm sure they could procure that. But, I mean, listen, if they paid Court Bauer a right amount of money, Court Bauer would probably license the footage. But I would love that, because I love Hammerstone and Holiday. I think they are TV talent.
Right.
Dave Koss sends a very nice super chat and says, going to Dynasty in Philly, please tell me you expect a Swerve title win. I do, personally. He says, I don't after tonight. And with the lure, I feel they may feel for Will Mox in Texas. Do you see Will Mercedes Speedball wrestling on Dynasty? I do see all of them wrestling on Dynasty. I would go Swerve winning, defending against Ospreay, and moving. I don't know when Darby will be back, but I would have Darby cost Moxley the title. That's what I would have happen.
If Darby can be there at Dynasty,
which I don't know that he can.
Right. He may be halfway up the side of the mountain by now. I don't know.
Hopefully,
when he actually start.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But that's what I see. But yeah, I think that we're about to see a pretty iconic run of AEW pay-per-views through probably All In. I think that they are going to see this as a defining run for them and an opportunity for them to really kind of take back a little bit of what they had lost in recent years. But I think you're in for a very, very good show. Thank you for that chat.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Willow Nightingale defeated Penelope Ford. That was fine. But then Chris Statlander comes out and Megan ends up destroying both of them.
Yeah. Megan Bain coming out to, because Penelope Ford with a chair shot that went like this. That was not the best, but everything
not great
else
luck with
fine.
Chairs in her segments.
Maybe it's time for a chair seminar. It's mandatory. Everyone shows up and we do a little chair seminar. But so she's being worn out by Penelope Ford and Statlander comes to help. But then here comes Megan Bain to take them both out and does one of her amazing F5s to Statlander. And this is interesting. Her basically announcing herself, like, if you are a top babyface here, I'm going to end you. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really cool thing for Megan Bain to be doing.
Doug, this again, need some chair work for sure, but they are introducing Megan Bain in a big way. And they introduced a fellow by the name of Speedball Mike Bailey in a big way. Fightful had reported in November he was expected to go to AEW. We had more details on FightfulSelect.com about his deal recently. He was getting his visa procured and he is there. Now, he came out to, like, there was a big drop before his music. You could hear like Speedball and there was a tepid reaction. It was not tepid.
No.
Within 1 minute of the match.
No.
First off, he is in the best shape I have ever seen him in.
He's in great shape.
And obviously if they would have had the full on, is it Def Rebel see or the Speedball at the beginning?
Yeah.
Speedball. One of those when I had a pop, but what a match. What a freaking match. What a performance. He had exactly the kind of performance you would want to see. And you talked about great lucha bases.
The fella.
There you go.
He's probably number one. If Cage ain't number one, this guy is. So
yes. The gorilla press slam from the top rope.
Always gets me, man. It's always nuts.
I will never get tired of it.
Yeah.
I will never get tired of good technical kicks in pro wrestling. There are so many TV wrestlers that I see that I'm like, you haven't been taught how to kick. You're watching something and thinking, you know, and then you go and you watch Speedball Mike Bailey. Yeah. And from a technical element, it's so beautiful. He does the speedball kicks back and forth into a head kick. But to be able to nail that spinning wheel kick at the level that he does is amazing. And Mortos's sell, if you guys haven't ever seen it, Edson Barboza versus Terry Etim. It's the greatest UFC knockout of all time. He sold it like that, flat on his back. This was the most perfect way to debut Speedball Mike Bailey, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. The tournament, I have quibbles with calling it a tournament. It is four separate qualifiers for a four-way match. That is not a tournament. That's a qualifier. When I heard tournament and I saw who was in it, but I didn't see a bracket, I was just like, oh, Ricochet versus Speedball in the finals. That's it. Ricochet versus Speedball in the finals. Now, they're both going to be two of the guys in the four-way match, but I thought we were going to get match, semifinals, finals. And I was disappointed when I realized it was four qualifiers for a fatal four-way, which is a different kind of thing, but it's fine.
But arguably, that's the second round, the finals of the tournament.
Supposing that it is. I wouldn't be surprised necessarily to see Speedball win the fatal four-way, but I think it's got to be Ricochet. Ricochet's promo tonight was amazing.
Yeah, so good.
Like that belt around Kenny's waist looks really nice. I might have to have that. So him going in, maybe via chicanery, costing Speedball. Maybe Speedball has the match won, but he shit cans him to the outside, steals the pin, and that's how you get Ricochet versus Kenny. Ricochet will lose to Kenny, and then you'll get an extended thing between he and Speedball, because I think Ricochet, that was why I wanted a one-on-one match between those two guys. I think Ricochet and Speedball could make magic together. Like, absolutely, they might be those, we already saw how great Ricochet and Swerve are together. Like, absolutely, I think those two guys meshed immediately. I think the secret sauce of Ricochet is he can do that with almost anybody. Like, he's really, really great at adapting his particular style to whoever he is facing. You would watch him wrestle Rey Fénix one week on Lucha Underground, and the next week wrestle Mil Muertes, and they were entirely different matches. He's a really, really great wrestler in that way. So I want to see him wrestle against a dude who just kicks him in the face over and over again. That's a different kind of opponent for Ricochet. I want to see that as a long-term feud.
I am Crush NC says, Sean hit me with the A-level troll, Speedball rules. He sent me a message this morning saying, what percentage would you put on Speedball or Josh Alexander being the wild card? At about 2 minutes after he debuted, I said 100%. I hardly check my blue sky messages.
Yeah.
Dave Koss says that only, by the way, thank you, Dave. You've sent a number of super chats, and I just want to thank you so much, because this is how we survive, is off of our super chats.
Really appreciate it.
Says only had seen Speedball handful of times. He's amazing. I will never not be worried about his Achilles and ankles every flip. Yes. Ankles, especially feet.
Yeah.
But I mean, you build that up. And
I loved the way they just, Excalibur, I think was who it was on commentary, talking about why he wrestles barefoot, because if you do Taekwondo as much as he's done, it becomes second nature that you fight barefoot, because that's what they do in Taekwondo. And you build up calluses on your feet. Yep. It's not like you're going to like step on something and hurt yourself. Like that's why he does it. But I also love the idea of somebody who's a great mat technician deciding, I'm going to break all your toes one by one.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to beat you. There's some really cool stuff to wrestle matches with Speedball.
And honestly, that's why rules need to be enforced more in wrestling, because small joint manipulation is supposed to be illegal. You're not supposed to be able to take less than three fingers or three toes and crack them in half. because that would just be too easy to do in an MMA fight. You just get somebody down, rip their fingers out. Yeah. So I would love to see that employed as well.
Yeah.
Dave Cost says, felt like, actually, he said, just to add to my chat, struggling to find a story opponent for Ospreay in just 3 weeks with everyone else busy praying for Kenny Ricochet. Well, I don't, they could start the Owen tournament there and have him against a major opponent. I would love that.
I mean, it's the other thing is that, is that supposed to end Double or Nothing?
I think it's supposed to end before. It was supposed to before, months and months and months ago, but I don't know about now.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if the finals, let's say, are at Double or Nothing, I love the idea of starting it at Dynasty, but putting as many people as possible into it. Like, not, maybe not a 64 field, but we could see if about getting a 32, like, figure out a way to, like, start that early, because you have, if you start at Dynasty and go all the way to the end of May, you have a lot of weeks of TV. Dynasty of Dynamite and also Collision. You have a lot of matches you can do, and I thought it'd be really cool to, like, get a huge field and start that off at Dynasty and finish it off at Double or Nothing, and the winner knows at Double or Nothing that they have that title shot at All In. I think that could be great.
Guys, get in your super chats, get in your Humper chats, and again, please, if you're watching here on YouTube, or even if you're not, go over to our YouTube video, leave a thumbs up, leave a comment after the video. That helps us so much. It really helps YouTube know that you give a hoot about what we're watching. So any Fightful video you watch, leave us a thumbs up, and it would mean an awful lot. Main event, Orange Cassidy defeated Hechicero, and then Speedball confronted him afterwards. Again, very lucha-heavy show, and I think that it went a long way because On these shows where you don't see luchas win a lot, right, I felt like this crowd reacted as well as possible coming off of Revolution on a show where a lot of the top guys were talking, and it was in-ring action with matches that largely had some foregone conclusion to them. There weren't a lot of doubt in the winners and losers on this show.
Right.
And it ended up being an effective wrestling program.
I was pulling for Hechicero win.
Of course. We've seen it with Orange Cassidy.
I love that guy. And Orange Cassidy just had a shot. Yes. Like he had to beat Takeshita to face Kenny. So, like, we already saw that he was close to getting a shot at that. I understand he's a former international champion, the best ever and stuff. But I thought maybe we would start a new thing for Orange Cassidy by having somebody come in and cost him the match, and then Hechicero wins. Mostly it's that I really love that Kenny was like, I think it's great that we're doing this eliminator tournament with people from so many different countries. And if you look at what's going on Collision, Ricochet is probably winning that almost certainly. And and also Mark Briscoe is almost certainly winning that as well. So the Fatal Four Way is going to be three Americans and a Canadian. So I thought it might have been cool to get a Mexican in there as well, just to figure out how to do that. Also, I want to see Hechicero in a Fatal Four Way with Mark Briscoe and Ricochet and Speedball. So I think it's going to be great either way. Orange Cassidy, I love the way Orange Cassidy sells, man. Like, this, certain things are like, holy crap, I can't jump off of this knee in order to do the orange punch. Like, crap. Oh, and also my hand really hurts, the hand that I punch with. Let's figure out how else I can win this. And you watch Orange Cassidy making those calculations in real time. It's really good stuff.
Dave Cost says, one more for you boys. We saw two excellent cage matches in the past couple of days, both incredibly different. Curious about which one resonated more with each of you and what you liked about each. Well, I have used this example, like, I think two or three times recently on our podcast, including today on The Hump. Listen, you can tweet whatever you want. It's a free country. Don't care. Right. But I could not imagine, as I use the horror genre as my example, Hush is my favorite horror movie of all time. I like things that I believe could plausibly happen to me. However, I watched Paranormal Activity 3, and what I loved about that was it was set in the 80s. They put a camcorder on an oscillating fan, and it kept me on the edge of my seat. I was like, what's going to happen when it pans over here?
Yeah.
It was different. It was a different kind of movie, and that's okay.
Yeah,
I'm not going to sit there and say, well, this one sucks. You can, if that's what you feel, because it's subjective. I loved how the first one, how the Osprey Fletcher one started off very visual with them standing on top of the cage. I liked that it added in these violent elements. I didn't like that Mark Davis got into the cage. I think they shouldn't ever bury that element of it. I loved how it borrowed a little bit from WWE with the I hate you, the very verbal elements of it. Because you had Seth Rollins saying a lot of the same things the next night. He hates CM Punk. Pass. It is funny that they don't even say tap out anymore because nobody taps out. Mm-hmm. Pass out, you bitch. I hate going through the door, but I thought it was a very clever way to end that match. Punk's probably not going to lose clean for a long time. But I would say the in-ring of Osprey and Fletcher resonated with me more. Mm. Reigns' return resonated with me more from a pure story perspective. How about you, Alex?
Oh, the first one was so much better.
I mean, it just was. I mean, I liked a lot of what happened in the one on Raw, but
yes,
I actually appreciated them both saying, "Here's the door if you want to leave." Like, I hate that there's a door and that's a way of
losing. Yes, I hate it.
But I like that neither of them wanted to win that way. Yes. I like that. However, it felt like the two guys on Saturday or on Sunday or whatever it was, like, had to kill each other and they had to do it in the cage. This one felt like we're very angry with each other, but there's really nothing on the line except for personal pride, as opposed to, like, my soul screams out that I must murder you is a very different thing than whatever I think is going on Raw. Also, I just kind of didn't like the Roman Reigns return. So as much as a lot of other people did, I thought that, that it was kind of silly, but, there were certainly elements of the second one I did enjoy, but man, that Fletcher and Ospreay thing was just these two men who needed to kill each other. They needed it. And that was it, man, for me.
Jordan sent in a Humper chat. We thank you so much. He said, solid Dynamite again. Will Ospreay entering the Owen? Do you think we get him versus Alexander 3 in the tourney? Also, do we get Kingston soon? I miss the Mad King. Alex, to answer Dave's question,
yeah,
right here, Jordan just answered it. Mm-hmm. The Owen Hart tournament, yeah, first round dynasty, Will Ospreay versus wild card. Mm-hmm. And then Josh Alexander's music hits at mm-hmm. dynasty. And normally I would not be on board with somebody debuting and losing, right, but in that kind of match, mm-hmm, might be okay with it.
Yeah. I also, in that kind of match, depending on what else they could find for him, I wouldn't hate Will Ospreay betting everything on winning the Owen tournament and going to All In, but mm-hmm, get surprised by Josh Alexander in the first, yeah, round, because at that point it's April 6th and you have until July. You, yeah, have a long time to find him somebody else for a marquee match that's not for the title.
Yep.
I'm not even saying Josh Alexander would go on to win the Owen. If he lost along the way, maybe you could rekindle that feud with Will Ospreay, and that could be the match that they do end up doing again at All In.
Alex, tell the people where they can find you and where they can support what you do.
You can find me at Alex Sourgraps on all the medias, social and otherwise. And you can find me on Fightful Select reviewing Raw with the wonderful Miss Kate Fabe, Kate Elizabeth. And on Tuesdays, we review NXT on this very channel. Over on Friday, we are doing a thing where I start reviewing SmackDown during the last hour of SmackDown.
Good idea.
I review the first two hours of SmackDown, and I try and get them all done by talking about that.
I love it.
By the time the main event starts, and then I do play-by-play of the main event. And answer questions throughout it. It's a lot of fun. It's like a tidy 45 minutes. It's a lot of fun. We do that as well. So hang out with us over on Fightful Select. It's a lot of fun.
I love it. Guys, FightfulSelect.com is our lifeblood. If you want to support original creators, original work, FightfulSelect.com is where we do it. It's direct to consumer. You can interact with us. You can ask us questions. I've got a Discord over there. I've got a Q&A every week. Try it once. Promise you'll like it. You can gift subscriptions. You can do a year ahead. We got one more super chat, it looks like. Meet Normus says, Meet Normus is not a place wherever meaty people reside and our queen. Or he says, Meet Normus is not a place. It's wherever meaty people reside and our queen is Megan Bain. Presentation is as good as her look. Strap her up ASAP.
True.
Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah. Well, guys, Meet Normus, I appreciate you all. I appreciate you. Until next time, my friends, we're out.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.